You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show this Monday morning, or you're very welcome to the programme if you've just switched on. 086 60 25 000, that's the WhatsApp or text number for you to get involved in our various conversations. And as always, you are in great numbers, and thank you very much for that. Let's get to some of your comments. In relation to Marie, just before the news at 10, a caller says, there is a number on the box that you put your needles in. If you call them, they'll collect it. I called just now and they said they will collect in the next week. Normally they take the full bin and leave me an empty one. Okay, so hopefully, Marie, that fits into the same system that you're employing. Whoever provides sharp boxes should provide instruction and advice on disposal. I'd be asking their advice. If that's the chemist, ask their advice. If they can't do it, ask them what their options are. But we are an outlet for it as well. That's what we're here for as well. You know, to we're easy to get in touch with, and people can just call us and we'll answer the phone straight away and get answers. There's no harm in calling us too. Greg, is this a record? I got my home renewal notice last Tuesday. My policy expired on Saturday. I was shocked they only got 5 days notice, but not near as surprised as I was when I saw the quote, €984. Last year, it was €600. I immediately went on an insurance comparison website and entered my details. I increased the rebuild cost, good move, and the contents insurance. I got a policy that covered all of my needs for €365. My question is, how can two companies assess the risk at such vastly different amounts? Shouldn't the ombudsman not ask why this is allowed to happen? I'm normally lethargic when it comes to shopping around, but sometimes I get the kick in the backside that I need. And look, I think the bottom line is we aren't great at switching in this country, or we're getting better, but we're not. You know, I've only really adapted in the last 2 or 3 years. And perhaps the insurance companies realise that we just let it roll over, that you get a letter and you open it and it goes, this is from Greg Hughes House Insurance. And then you sort of start, you know, as you start reading down and you haven't got to the quote figure yet, and you just go, oh, well, sure, it's a direct debit, it'll be grand. And I think they rely on that to some extent as well. Whereas the company that covered you for €365, they see that you've had no claims. They see your house is in decent condition. They see you've valued it realistically, and they want your business. Whereas the other crew probably just presumed that you would stick with them. So this person, by going on a house insurance comparison website, now has an extra, what, €600 in their back pocket, €620? Folks, switch, switch, switch. That's what I would suggest. Don't be loyal to particular phone companies, particular broadband. People think too, they don't want to switch broadband. You know, you get £35 a month and next thing you know, it's £65 a month, and you go, ugh, well, sure, I can't be bothered and I'd have to send the router. But forget that. As soon as your contract expires, switch again. It's all the same company, really, you know. They all use the same infrastructure. It's just a different name and sometimes a different router. And you can save yourself thousands just on broadband, mobile phone, and house insurance, for an example. A caller says, I had always thought it was a customer's discretion that a tip should be included, and that's why it's so controversial. The service charge issue is back on the agenda again. We were out for a meal some time ago, and we paid on ordering, and there was a gratuity option on the bill before we had any food. How can you tip before you have even eaten? Well, really, you can't, can you? But it's very unusual to pay for food in advance unless it's a takeaway, isn't it? But anyway, be that as it may. Let me see. We've had some comments too on social media. I'd always thought it was at a customer's discretion that a tip should be included. Caroline, could you or Niamh just check where that legislation Leo Varadkar was on about it, that tipping legislation is at? Just so as I couldn't access it just in the break because I forgot to. Robert on Facebook, you can ask for that to be removed if you want to. Plus, a lot of establishments, that goes to the business, not the staff, so always worth asking. Thanks for that, Robert. And Oisin, some people are never pleased no matter what. I've worked in the industry for years and I agree with a service charge 100%. It's people like Brian that don't leave a tip and usually are the hardest customers to serve. Some people are never happy. And I also think people like Brian have never worked in the hospitality industry. Otherwise, they wouldn't think twice about how hard everyone in hospitality works. In fairness to Brian, he was about to leave a tip at his own discretion. And it was only at that point that he noticed a service charge had already been applied. So let me flip it to you on in this regard. If he had left a tip and was allowed to leave his own tip, a cash tip, on the table, maybe that actually would have gone to the staff. You know, maybe that can go into the staff member's pocket, or maybe there's a staff jar and the staff would get to have that tip. With the service charge, that goes into the bank account, potentially, of the business. Does the staff see that on top of their wages? I think Brian was actually trying to make sure that he rewarded the staff for their service, but instead that power was taken from him because the business decided to stick this charge on, which he doesn't know where it's going. That's my idea going out, looking forward to a nice meal. If you're satisfied, you don't begrudge paying, and 26, 30 euro is standard for a good bottle of wine. But Greg, you sound such a cheapskate, you would probably buy a 7 or 8 euro bottle of rubbish wine. That's a no-no. Okay, well, listen, I am a cheapskate. I'll put my hands up. Secondly, I don't drink wine, so I wouldn't really know a good wine from a bad wine. I would struggle to pay 30 euro because I'd be paying it to watch someone else drinking. But yeah, you're right. I am a cheapskate. Another texter says, the same thing happened with me with glue on a kitchen top. It was only new. It was my own fault. Tried ironing the paper, tried everything. Mark, still there after 20 years, panicked at the time, but got over it. Yeah, of course. I think it's probably the lacquer on the wood that's going to be damaged, isn't it? And there are ways to sort of restore that too, but it might take bringing in a professional to do that. A caller says, I used to work in a restaurant years ago. Tips were shared equally amongst all staff, from management to waiting staff to kitchen staff and cleaning staff, all according to the number of hours worked, which I thought was fair. If tips are being given, but again, I don't see the need for customers to pay staff. Staffing is factored into the cost price in most, if not all, instances. Another post-COVID, a lot of hairdressers and beauticians in local rural communities have started to work from home. They now charge the same price as salon prices, increased in a lot of cases due to the cost of living. I see no need to tip them as many are perhaps now claiming social welfare too and doing the double with no tax or rent to pay. Obviously not all, but perhaps some. Perhaps. Yeah, perhaps that's your relationship with your hairdresser, though. If you're working from home, they may well be paying water rates as well and stuff. I work in a hotel. The staff gets the tip as per the law. Good news. ED40 to remove the glue, says another listener. Sorry, these are mixed in a little, but sure, we'll get there. I agree, this tipping culture is ridiculous. I never do it. I paid good money for the service. If their bosses pay low wages, that's not on me. It's no wonder restaurants can't get staff these days. Another. Just before we take the bingo numbers, I worked as a waitress as a student in Toronto 35 years ago. There was a service charge included in the bill, and it was up to the client to leave a private tip. The waitresses didn't have to set up the tables. It was done by busboys. The tip is on the bill, and it's given to the waitresses on their check at the end of the week. Any other tips, we'd give a little to the busboys who set up. However, only staff in the dining room made over $1,000 Canadian a week. Wow. Amazing. But isn't it different in different countries too? I think, I don't know, but I'm going by stuff I've seen on TV. It could be nonsense. But I was under the impression that some countries, maybe Canada, America, you get paid maybe lower wages, but because of the tipping culture, and if you do your job to a certain standard, that you can really make quite a lot of money. Again, lots of people listening would have spent their youth or spending their youth in America or Australia or Canada or whatever could advise me better. And finally, as it relates to the disposable needles, this caller says, my bin provider, Hibernian Healthcare, lift my sharp bins and replace it. Okay, so Marie, maybe there's a number on that bin. You can give a call and they'll come and dispose of it for you. Coming up very shortly, we're going to be chatting to some, if not all, of the winners of the Donegal Garda Youth Awards. So if you want to watch that, hop on to our social media, Highland Radio Ireland on YouTube. But for now, we're going to say good morning to Derek Reaney, who's Community Development Officer for the Ulster Scots Agency. Good morning to you, Derek.
Good morning to yourself.
Good to have you on board. Before we talk about the upcoming event, tell us a little bit about the Ulster Scots Agency and its function and role.
Well, we are one of the cross-border bodies established under the Belfast Agreement. We are part of the Board of Lead, which is ourselves and Forest na Gaeilge, the Irish language body. And we are funded through the Northern Ireland Executive and the Government of the Irish Republic. And our job is to promote Ulster Scots in terms of culture, language and heritage. Our headquarters is in Belfast, and we have a regional office here in Raphoe for the last 19 years we've been based in Raphoe as our regional office here in East Donegal.
And I presume culture, language and heritage will be high on the agenda for the Ulster Scots Heritage Day in Raphoe this coming Saturday.
Yeah, we started this event way back in 2015, just to raise a little bit of awareness of the tremendous heritage that's here, particularly in Rafow. And you just have to look around the town to see that heritage before you. And we ran that up until 2019, whenever we had over 3,000 people here in the Diamond at the event. Regretfully, the last 3 years we have been unable to run it due to COVID, and so we're re-establishing it again out at the Royal School football pitch on Saturday coming.
And it's going to be a fantastic day of events starting at 12 noon. Tons of stuff going on. Tell us a little bit about it.
We kick off at 12 noon. It's a free event, admission free, car parking free. It's a family fun day, and it's all about raising awareness. So we have Elbowed Out, which is a new emerging Ulster Scots traditional folk group. They were over in Arranmore for the Burns Night and went down a treat over there. So they're performing on the stage during the day. We also have a group of 40 Highland dancers from a number of Highland dance groups over in West Tyrone and around Brady and around that part of the country come along to perform. We have a group called The Force, which is actually a new drum major display team. This group travels the world. They do a lot of gigs across the world at various tattoos and events. So they're performing as well. There's about 15 or 20 drum majors. And then we have about 14 pipe bands who are coming along, mostly from Northern Ireland, from as far away as County Down and around Magher Fealth and that part of the country. And then, of course, a number from Donegal
And
themselves.
Am I correct in saying they're playing individually and then collectively as well?
Yes, there's basically three parts to the pipe band. Because there's been no pipe band competitions in the month of May, we decided to give some of the pipe bands an opportunity to play individually in the arena. Some of their competition sets that'll be starting off next week or the following week afterwards in their competition. And then we also will have them performing as a mass band in the arena. And then shortly around about 4 o'clock, they should be doing a short parade into the centre of Rafow and back out again to the football pitch.
Yeah, and as you say, it's a family day out as well. Children's entertainment, maybe the odd burger stand, who's to say?
Yes, we have children's entertainment. So again, it's all free admission, and there should be hopefully an ice cream van and the burgers. And there's also the local parish church are providing some teas as well. So it really is a fun day out, and we also will have a stall at it just to raise awareness and give out some freebies and information about Ulster Scots and various activities that we're involved in.
Yeah, and because of the nature now of long-range weather forecasts, it's looking really quite favourable for the rest of this week and into the weekend too, with a dominant high pressure. And that's the one thing with all the organisation that you can't really plan for in advance, but it looks like the stars might be aligning for you on that day.
Yes, well, I'm a farmer as well, so I'm always well used looking at the weather forecast. And I did have a peek yesterday, and it did look quite good for the rest of this weekend into the weekend. So that's always important when you're organising outdoor events. You also have to plan if it doesn't work like that. So we have some marquees up and just for that. So we cover both, but it will be great to get a nice, dry, warm, sunny day.
And it is a new venue too. You're moving from the Diamond to the pitch as well, and plenty of parking presumably available. I presume it's not to tie up Rafow necessarily and give a big open space for everyone to enjoy the activities.
Absolutely. We were very conscious that that we had built this up to 2019, and it became quite successful. We had over 3,000 people in 2019, and it did cause a bit of a logistic nightmare here in the town, just getting and Rafow's quite busy on a Saturday anyway, so we don't want to cause any logistical problems here and traffic delays. But we will have a parade, which shouldn't last much more than about 45 minutes into the Diamond and back out again. And we're hoping that that will work and that will free the town up. And people can come along and they can still spend a euro or two in the town if they want to go into the cafes or whatever. I'm
For
sure
sure.
they will, because it's only a short distance walk from the football pitch into the centre of the town.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a lift for the town, as you say, particularly if traffic's able to move. Okay, listen, sounds fantastic. And there's not many things nowadays that are free, but this is, and it's next Saturday, and everyone's welcome.
Absolutely. I'm very open to. We have a pipe band coming from Arranmore. We have one coming, Colm Kilner, coming in from the city. So it's a very much a cross community event, and we're looking forward to everybody to come along. And as it is, as you say, there's not that many events now that are free, and it is free.
Yeah, and particularly interesting will be the Mass Pipe Band. I'm not sure if there's a world record out there or you're anywhere close to it, but it's going to be that's a spectacle in and of itself.
Absolutely. And the last time we did this, which again was 2019, we had the Mass Pipe Band and the Diamond. And on the Facebook, we had 500,000 views.
There you go.
Of the pipe band performing in the Diamond. So it just gives you an idea of the reach out there. The pipe band word is quite big. And, it'll be great to see them performing as a Mass Pipe Band.
So with both hats on, as the Community Development Officer, you can pray for no rain for the next week, and then you can put your farmer's hat on and then start crying about there's not enough rain from Saturday onwards. Is that?
Well, I'm from the Spurrins out in Tyrone, so I don't think I'd be crying for rain for a wee one, to be
okay,
honest with you.
Indeed, Derek. Listen, come here, have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you very
much. All right,
much, bye-bye.
Thank Take
you.
Care. Derek Reaney there, Community Development Officer with the Ulster Scots Agency. Okie doke. Law to protect employees tips was introduced from the 1st of December 2022. The new law, we're told, will ensure that tips and gratuities are distributed fairly to staff. There's no legislation there, presumably, then, as it relates to whether you can apply a service charge. You just have to make sure that the staff get it. It's all very different now, Greg. It's no longer cash in hand. It's divided and included as part of your wage and taxes paid on it, or it was in the restaurant I worked in. Yeah, indeed, and that's in compliance with that new legislation which I just referenced there. Shall I play? No, I'll play requests a little later on. I'll watch the Kerry Mayo game on GEA Go. What a match. It's disgraceful that this headline game wasn't free to air. The GEA obviously knew it would be a cash cow and force people to pay. And this is the problem with this system that they have, because obviously yesterday on free to air, it was a wonderful day for hurling. Did you see that exchange between Donal Logue and the presenter on RTE? What did you make of that off the back of his comments he'd made on Morning Ireland the previous Friday or the Friday before that? But anyway, listen, don't want to open up that can of worms, or do I? Anyway, be that as it may, yep, this is the problem, you see. Kerry Mayo should have been available for us all to watch. I watched it myself, actually, to be honest with you. But then they will say, yeah, but we did show great hurling games on Sunday, and that's what you were all crying about last week. Patrick Kilty's a great choice for the Late Late Show. It certainly makes a change from someone from the RTE canteen. Yes, indeed. And that frees up more guests from the RTE canteen as well, because they don't have to take a presenter out of there. Rightio. As you would know, the Donegal Joint Policing Committee hosted the Donegal Garda Youth Awards recently. These awards celebrated outstanding young people between the ages of 13 and 21 years. The awards recognise the good work being done by young people in every community in Donegal. Now, we have a whole host of people to talk to now. Let's start with the group awards, supporting each other, the community and others. This following the Chrysler explosion. We're joined in studio by Aoife Gibbons, head girl at Mulroy College. Good morning to you.
Hi, how are you?
Good to have you with us. We also have Tig Morgan, head boy. Good morning, Tig.
Morning, Greg.
And last but certainly not least, we have Fiona Temple, principal. Hi, Fiona.
Morning. How are you, Greg?
I'm good. Do you want to outline firstly the submission really for the, or how this group award was, how it was earned, I suppose.
How it came about, yeah. So we won the overall group award, and there would have been a number of nominations that would have gone through. So we were nominated externally, which was a great honour. And it's the entire student body of Mulroy College that has been nominated and has won this award. So it really is in recognition of the support and the care and the compassion that the students themselves within the school show to each other collectively and individually throughout the year. Obviously, we were faced with a lot of challenges this year, as the entire community of Donegal was, in particular. Within Mulroy College, we were directly affected through the loss of two wonderful students, James Monaghan and Leona Harper, and two of our parents also, Martina Martin and Catherine O'Donnell. But everybody in the school was affected, staff and students alike. So this award came about from others nominating us and recognising how students within the school supported each other. We also had an individual award winner too, Dara O'Shaughnessy. He's not with us here today, but maybe just to mention Dara too, as he won the individual, and to congratulate him. So I'm very proud and honoured of the students in the school. I always am, but particularly this year, just being able to experience the support that they showed each other throughout all of those challenges was great.
Yeah, and Dara is a fantastic character as well as everything
absolutely.
Else, isn't he? Indeed.
He is, absolutely.
I think he's given me a touch in the past, if I'm not mistaken.
I would imagine he has.
He has indeed, and he's very good at it too. Aoife Gibbons, I mean, it's important, isn't it, we recognise the impact that this had on young people, because and still continues to have, because it's all still very fresh and still very raw as well. It's not only just the lives that were lost from the school, but people that were injured, but it impacted the school greatly. And I imagine that's an ongoing piece of work just to work through that.
Yeah, that's it. And like, it definitely wasn't an easy time for us especially, but I think it was the support of both, like obviously the teachers were supporting us, but even the students together. So like, we were always encouraged to come into school and even to grieve together. They were told it was better than just to sit at home, you know, and grieve yourself. So I think the students just, we were also able to, the teachers, if there was someone, you know, upset, we were allowed to express our emotions and how we felt. And then, you know, even the senior students, if they seen a younger student, they would just put their arm around them, say, oh, you're all right, or even tell a teacher, kind of give them that little bit of support that they needed.
Yeah, and it's important, isn't it? Because I suppose, too, particularly when you're young, you're not, thankfully, generally speaking, you're not conditioned necessarily to have to deal with events like this. And, you know, how do you do so? And that's where that guidance, I suppose, and working together and creating that space where, you know, people feel comfortable expressing themselves, but also mm-hmm. others feel comfortable in comforting them.
Yeah, that's it. So especially the younger students, you know, for might have been their first time that they experienced loss or something like that. So some of them didn't know how to deal with it, and they might have had dealt with it in different ways if they weren't given any guidance or that.
And Tyke, you're as well too. Maybe it's a little bit different for fellas, is it? I don't know. Maybe those things are changing now as well. But it's just to give everyone that sort of safe space to feel that they can express themselves.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the school did an amazing job having everyone in, especially. Like, there were supports brought outside of school, but I think mainly the support in the school was with the students and especially the teachers, the relationship that they had. You know, you had the students supporting each other, but the students also supporting the teachers. Because, as Ms. Temple said, it was a tough time for everyone, not just the students. So you had the teachers there as well, and the teachers supporting the students, like I said. So it did definitely bring great, like, support. And that's what this award was for, like, recognising the support and the care that the students had together.
Yeah, and Fiona, it's really nice, isn't it, that Ty recognises that, you know, all the teachers and staff and everywhere of the community, they're all sort of trying to process this the exact same as everyone else. They're not supermen and women as such,
and I think, you know, schools are, they're an incredible space within themselves anyway, because of the diversity of relationships that happen there. And like, we're, Mulroy College is so similar to all schools in the county and nationwide. It's all about building relationships, and where you have that, where you have a community, whether it's a school or whether it's a GAA club or whatever it is, where good relationships and are there, then you can support and help each other through good times, through bad times, through challenging times, whatever it may be. And I think that's what's very present for us, those relationships. And, you know, as Tig said there, students supported us as well. And the important piece for us, as you say, Aoife, was we were there and we were together. And that will continue. And those challenges continue, as you say. You know, nobody's over this. This is something that...
And that in and of itself, Aoife, is something that has to be managed too, isn't it? Because, you know, you could be forgiven, perhaps, with some of the conversation out there that, right, well, that was in the past. It's only 7 or 8 months ago, you know, and I think we have to be careful, don't we, that we make sure that people realise, and you guys do, of course, that this is still very recent. We still have the, you know, the first anniversary and birthdays and all of those things to go through, yet it's still very new.
Yeah, that's it. And like, suppose from maybe people from different counties that they'd think, oh, that tragedy happened, yeah, and you know, it's passed now. But especially you said like something like birthdays, and especially the year's anniversary and stuff like that, it will hit again, and it will kind of bring back those emotions that were there during the time, you know, of the loss and everything. And it's going to take a long, long time for everyone to
just to hear.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, Fiona, as well, too, that, I mean, you know, from an administrative point of view, a management point of view, having to sort of deal with the initial stages and then what comes afterwards, but also to some extent under a bit of a spotlight or a microscope scope as well, you know, having to make decisions where there's no necessarily right decision to make as such. I'm sure that was a great challenge for you and the rest of the management and staff at the school.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, when any school or school community faces any kind of a critical incident at all, but there's correct measures there in place as well. And we got huge support from NEPS, from our educational psychologists, our critical incident team from Donegal ETB. And our priority would always have been to ensure that we were looking after our students, our staff and our parents at that time. So we didn't really focus on the media or focus on that spotlight that was on us. Our entire focus was on looking after the community that we were in. But we definitely leaned on the supports that we had, and the fact that our critical incident team would have kicked in straight away, and those supports continue within the school daily from NEPS, from our ETB, from DYS, from Foroiga, from all of those external people. But a lot of that happens in school anyway. Those external agencies would know them so well because we work with them every day. Mm-hmm. For example, Jigsaw, that works with a lot of our students. We've been part of the One Good School programme on Jigsaw for years now. So you're simply just continuing to work with all of those services, but maybe just with a different focus for a period of time. And we'll just continue to keep our focus really on the students. And I think that's where this award comes from, because that has been recognised, and it's lovely that our students in particular are being recognised for that care and compassion that they show each other.
And I think too, it's particularly nice too that it's a collective tie, isn't it? That you as a collective are being externally recognised by this. You never sought this, or you know what I'm on about, but it is... It's nice to see that the support you gave each other, the community and others following the Chrysler tragedy, and continue to do so. It's nice that that's been externally recognised, Ty.
Yeah, definitely. And it was a great honour and privilege for me and Aoife to accept the award, but it was an award for the whole student body, you know, and it was well deserved, because going into school, you know, you could see the support from the students and the staff, like I said. And that's why the reward was definitely deserved.
Yeah, that's it. You said it. You know, hey, come here. If you ever want a future in radio, do you know when you've run out of things to say? Move on. Listen, you did fantastic, Ty. Fair play to you. It's not easy coming in here. And you too, Aoife, you've done fabulous as well. Aoife Gibbons, head girl at Mulroy College. And Ty Morgan, isn't it? Head boy as well. And Fiona Temple, principal. Congratulations that you're recognised like this. It's hard to choose the correct words, but I think it's really, really fitting. And make congratulations, I suppose, because it's a great combined effort from everyone that continues.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much, all three of you, for calling down today. I really do appreciate it. That's Mulroy College, and represents representatives of Mulroy College, the group award winner there. Right, the Community Safety Award went to the Recycled Bike Project. We're joined by Garvin Walker, youth justice worker with Foroiga, Shay Kelly, Gallagher Leaving Cert student, a member of the Donegal Youth Diversion Programme. Good morning to you. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg. It's lovely to be on. Thanks for the invitation.
It's great to have you on. All right, so talk to us about the Recycled Bike Project.
Yeah, well, so currently my role as a youth justice worker is to help the young people involved in our projects to engage in pro-social activities and interventions, Greg, you know. So just for the listeners' purpose, like, you know, there's 5 youth justice workers in Donegal, and we're funded by the Government of Ireland and the European Union. There's 5 of us covering Donegal, a big geographical spread. And in my own case, I work specifically in Letterkenny and also facilitating just on a referral project. So the name of the game for us is to walk the path of the young people through key developmental ages through 12 to 17. And one of the ideas that we had moving forward in the referral project, and my colleague Nuala Plunkett was inspirational of doing this at the start, was driving us on, was the bike project. And the bike project basically mean that they would get bikes that come from the guard and other sources, that the young people then would be trained by John Grant from the bike mobile shop. He would come down and he'd train and show the young people how to fix the bikes up to make them roadworthy. And then they would pass them on, like the Kindness of Strangers charity and also the Referral Family Resource Centre were benefited from this as well too. And then later in 2023, the lads fixed up bikes as well too, and they gave them to some Ukrainian younger members. So the whole time of working on projects like this is to help the young people, Greg, basically with confidence and self-esteem.
Right. Who have you got with you there?
So we have Oisin here and we have Shay, and these are the two guys that are involved in all the work. So maybe I shouldn't be talking as much and let the lads who actually done the work, because as I say, I was just facilitating for them, and these boys did all the hard grafting, heavy lifting, you know.
All right, talk to us, you Oisin, talk to us about this project then.
Well, we started the bikes at the start of this year for the Ukrainian ones, because we know they'll be getting it tough coming over here, everything happened with the war and stuff, so we thought it'd be nice to do some bikes up for them and give them a wee bit of lift.
Yeah, Shay?
So,
what did you... did you work on the bikes yourselves?
Yeah. It was a Galapagos-wise. Me and Oisin pretty much doing the most work right now. But we know for the last 6 months, we had John Grant coming down and helping us, showing us a few things, and I'm sure that it'll help us out too when we're out there. And... we just started off with just checking the bike to see what we needed to fix. And if we needed to fix the gears, we'd fix the gears and the wheels and the brakes. And all this stuff was new to me, so it was kind of hard at the start, but we got through it. And it was good to see that they went on to be used.
What was your speciality, Shay? What did you become particularly good at?
Fixing gears.
Yeah, because that's the most complicated bit. I'd steer well clear of the gears. What about you, Oisin?
Probably the wheels, because it's the handiest.
Yeah. So, unless one of them turns up with square wheels. But anyway...
square wheels, I'm leaving it behind.
Garvin, you must be very proud of them. And it's great to see them recognised for the work.
For sure. And look, listen... The boys at a certain age now, you know yourself, hey, at 16 and 17, sometimes you can't see the work that you're doing, and them, you can't see how it's benefiting.
Yeah.
But I was delighted. And again, my colleague, Nuala, who worked in Refo as well, really drove this project on. But the lads showed up every Wednesday. They give their time. They listened. They participated. It really helped with their self-esteem. And as one thing I learned as a youth worker, it amazes me how little a young person actually needs in terms of confidence. It doesn't take anything mental or massive. It's just simple stuff, a wee bit of positive reinforcement. And now some of the lads are working here now, and Shay's preparing for his leaving cert as well too, but have aspirations now to go on the apprenticeships and stuff.
Brilliant.
And I'm not saying it's directly related to that, but it's a contributing factor, you know.
And I think a big contributing factor, Garvin, is your faith in them and the support you give them too, and your passion. That comes across in spades as well. So I think you've got to take a fair bit of credit too. Oisin, well done, lad. You too, Shay. Keep up the good work. All right, take care of yourselves. Bye-bye. That's Garvin Walker, Shay and Oisin as well there. Right, Adam Loch joins us as well. Hi, Adam.
How are you? How are you getting on?
It's good to have you with us. Right, you were the recipient of the Special Achievement Award. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Good all right, here. Okay. So you set up a rugby club, did you, in St. Columba's Comprehensive down in beautiful Glenties. What was the background to all of that?
I went to me and another boy, Mark Avigan. We went up to our teacher, Miss McPolin, and we thought that there was room for another sport, and we love playing rugby. So we worked together with her, and we set it up. The school has been going great ever since.
Yeah, and was the idea being that it was something else for people to do if they weren't necessarily into the obvious ones, you know, the Gaelic, the soccer, the athletics?
Yeah, because see, the great thing about rugby is that there's something for everyone. And since there's something for everyone, we reached out to like everyone. So like all the nearby towns, such as like Ardragh, Glentie, Spintown, Letcher. And then we even reached out to the Spanish students and the Ukrainians as well, which was great.
So there's an inclusion. I mean, obviously, you're widening the talent pool, but as well as that, there's a strong positive inclusion element to it as well.
Oh, definitely. That's one of the best things about rugby is that there's something for everyone.
So when did you establish the rugby club and how quickly has it taken off?
Well, we started it just at the end of third year, but there's only a couple of weeks of that. It only really got going at the start of the year in September. And it's been flying ever since. It's been great numbers down every Monday.
Because, I mean, it's not just to say, right, let's start a club. Presumably, you have to find someone to coach. You have to find a place to play. You have to get the right equipment and training and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, see, I was fortunate that I actually done a rugby coaching course during that summer. So I was a fully qualified youth rugby coach then by September. So that definitely came into play then.
And do you have an idea how many students are currently taking, or young people, I suppose, generally are partaking now?
We have three age groups for the boys, under 14, under 16s and under 18s now. Yeah. And we have junior and senior girls team. So there's a wide range of ages and talent there. So so that's great. There's always a great amount there every week.
Brilliant stuff. And who's that beside you? I don't have it written on my sheet. Who? Hello?
Hello. So I'm Miss McPolan. I'm the teacher who's talking about that.
Miss McPolan, lean in so I can see you. I'm sorry, I could see the side. Yeah, I could see the side of your face, but I didn't have you down in my notes here, Miss McPolan. You must be very proud of everything. I mean, this sounds like it's really taken off.
Oh, we're hugely proud of Adam here. I mean, you know, to see him take the initiative to even come and say, you know, look, I'm a rugby fan, I'm a rugby player. You know, there's so many students here on the periphery that haven't tapped into sport. You know, and the one thing, as Adam alluded to earlier on, it doesn't matter your talent, your ability, your shape, there is a position for you on the rugby pitch, you know. So that was the reason I nominated Adam for the award, was purely because, I mean, the award embodies the idea of people going above and beyond. And he's far too modest to tell you, but I mean, he coaches and refs every single week. And his reffing is, we've all seen it, it's exceptional. He forgoes the actual training himself on the pitch to coach the others. You know, I was hugely proud that we also have a female rugby team now as well. You know, he promotes it within the school. He promotes it outside. He's been on O'Neill FM. Sorry to mention a competitor, but
it's
he's been on another radio station.
No, I love all other media. I'm about elevating, not taking down. O'Neill FM is a brilliant radio station. Everyone can listen, just not between 9 and 12, Monday to Friday. So don't worry about that.
Yeah, he's been on there promoting it. I mean, you know, he's running a bake sale this week to promote again. The rugby, we're trying to get money together for shorts. We have jerseys, we've no shorts. He always gives a percentage of the money to charity. You see him distributing leadership. Even now, he's encouraging younger members to do coaching courses. So it's, again, it's building it on with younger members and support there to make a team. He ran the TY rugby as well.
Yeah.
We actually had Ulster Rugby come. Kevin Gallagher came from Ulster Rugby and he was taking the TY girls. And that was a hugely popular initiative. And Adam said, OK, I'll take the boys, obviously under my supervision. And we had a transition year rugby training session and that was hugely successful. And that's something we hope to have now every year.
Yeah, and it's amazing too, Adam, where things can go. It's not that long ago that I was speaking about Inishowen rugby, you know, 50 odd years ago, I think it is. And it started off something like this, just, you know, someone like yourself planting the seed. If you look at what happened in the Letterkenny Athletics. You know, it took one person or two people to get together, and look what they established. The same with the Finn Valley Athletics Club. You know what I mean? There was people involved, but it wasn't organised. And you've got someone like Patsy McGonigal who comes in and starts something, and who's to say where it might be in many years to come. So hopefully that's something in the Glenties and surround areas, Adam, that you've started, and we'll be talking about you in 50, or maybe even speaking to you in about 50 odd years. Anyway, you must still be getting some training in, because you've got queer shoulders on you, Adam, so you must be finding some time for the training. Thanks very much, Adam.
All right, cheers. Thanks.
Good man, and congratulations, and fair play to you, miss, for nominating him. A very, very worthy recipient, and it's great to see.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks so very much indeed. Okay. Now, Councillor Jerry McMonagall is the chair of the Donegal Joint Policing Committee, and he's been in for most of that conversation. And hey, Jerry, what a fantastic group of young people right across the board there. I love these awards because it gives us an opportunity to celebrate the amazing achievements of our youth.
Yeah, it's a fantastic initiative by Garda Síochána O'Connor. This is the fourth year now we've been involved in it here in Donegal. And I have to say, the young people, as you say, that have come forward and been nominated by their schools and peers and families has been just absolutely fantastic. The stuff that they've been involved in, you just heard there this morning, it's all about helping others. It's about improving themselves, but it's primarily about helping others, and their contribution to their local communities and schools is absolutely fantastic. And it's a great thing to be involved in. And I know those of us who receive the applications and then do the adjudicating, we have an awful task, but a very pleasant task in trying to bring out, because they're all winners. They're all contributors, as I say, to their community. And they certainly show what the young people of Donegal are about.
And before the years too, because obviously with the terrible Chrysler tragedy, you know, sometimes you have to grow up quick emotionally, and it's amazing how they managed to do that and continue to do it, but supporting each other. Adam there, in terms of who's to say what he's achieved, amazing already, but where could come from that? The young guys fixing up the bikes. Do you know what I mean? Like real proactive community-based stuff. Sometimes while all the adults are arguing with each other and this and thatting, we turn to the young people and they're on the ground doing it, Jerry. I'm not talking about me or you, but you know what I'm on about. Like, the young people are out there rolling their sleeves up and getting on with it.
They're the people loving it. The young people are they see the gaps. They're experiencing the pressures that are there, and more importantly, they're identifying solutions and how to help and support their peers. What Adam's done in relation to rugby and how he's been, as you said, so inclusive in bringing young girls, young boys, development of them to what he has is absolutely fantastic. The guys involved in the bike group, how they're in there working with Garvin, the Garda Diversion Programme in Rafo, and how there's a positive outcome to that there. Again, it's fantastic. And when we talk about Dara O'Shaughnessy and then the Mulroy College and what they've been through, but how they've stuck together and come together and supported one another. And I think they're an example to us all, you know.
And it seems the theme here too, though, is good, strong adults too. Garvin, particularly impressive. I was struck by him and his enthusiasm. He made me want to do something. And then we had, obviously, the principal and the teacher that they're there supporting, and it's amazing. Listen, Jerry, thanks very much for that. Roll on 2024.
I could just say, Greg, look, we want to really promote this award, and we would ask people, and I'm very pleased and happy that you promoted us so well today and showcased the winners and the recipients of the awards. But look, there's more young people out there doing fantastic things. I want to ask people, whether it be schools, friends, youth workers, they look around you and bring forward young people, because they need to be recognised for the great work. So it'll be opened up again shortly. Keep an eye out for it. And we would like to see a lot more applications coming in. right across the county.
Yeah, and just to tag on to that, if you don't mind as well, everybody that's nominated is recognised. So simply being nominated is a massive thumbs up and a pat on the back to young people. And of course, then there's a process. So listen, we always do well at a national level, so no pressure. They have to go on and win it for us now. Jerry, listen, thanks for your time and thanks for holding on. And I'm sure you enjoyed listening to the young people in any case.
Very much so.
Take care of yourself. Thank you. News on the way.